All right, I'll see you Thursday.
Thursday night.
Okay.
It's Thursday. Thursday's the day before Friday. The day after Wednesday. 2 days after Tuesday.
Thursday.
Because it's Wednesday.
Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
Thursday, I don't care about you. Thursday doesn't even start.
So sometime between now and Thursday, I've got to come up with a small fortune.
It's the gateway to the weekend. Thursday. Now, here's Bob and Sherry.
Well, happy gateway to the weekend, boys. Hey, are we all excited? Yay!
Yes. Yes.
And we
do
have our live virtual happy hour tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern on the Bob and Sherry page. All of us will be there. If you want to pour something tasty, come join us. Now, you will not be surprised that I would like to kick off today's show talking about hockey because sports is, of course, my brand.
That's your thing.
So,
oh, yeah.
That is my thing, yeah. So I am married to a man who he'll tell you the only thing he cares about is college football. And yet we will be watching juvenile Hialeah in the middle of the night if he gets his way, right? Like he just loves sports and that's fine. He can do that. And sometimes I leave the room and go do something else. And sometimes I sit there with him and do something else and let, you know, participate in his sporty game. So we've been watching a ton of hockey because it's the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I have to say, I have such an appreciation. Are any of you guys hockey fans? Anybody here? Doc?
I used to play when I was a kid.
I don't understand it at all.
I like going
I don't know
to
what
it live.
Doing.
I generally won't watch it on television, but it's a fun experience live.
It is.
Well, Kev, as you know, has a big TV. Max knows how big the TV is. It's a big TV.
It's the largest I've ever seen.
It is the biggest. My husband has the biggest TV of any husband ever. And it makes him happy. And life is short. So, like, who cares? So he's got this big TV. And when you watch hockey on that TV, you can actually see the puck, details on the puck flying across the ice. So it makes it a lot more fun to watch, apparently. Who knows when you can see the puck. So I have some thoughts about hockey since I've been watching a bunch of it. First of all, total freaking respect because it is such a fast moving game. It's so hyper technical and they're doing it on ice skates. I don't know why hockey players don't get automatic instant respect for the fact that they are playing this incredibly fast game on ice skates and they're often flying backward on the ice on their ice skates. And the puck is very, very small and the sticks are very, very thin. And everything is moving really, really fast. And from what I can tell, those gentlemen are allowed to pounce on each other at will. Like, you'll be watching. It'll be like, boom, 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 boom. He's got the puck. No, he's got the puck. And then suddenly one of them, I mean, it's wild to me that these things are allowed. One of them will literally throw another one up into, like, the boards or the wall or whatever that's called. Couple of nights ago, I was watching the New York Rangers play the Carolina Hurricanes, and I said to Kevin, how come sometimes they get put in the penalty box, and other times that guy just mounted that other guy like a Randy Elk, and nobody got in trouble for that? Like, what in the world are the rules of this sport? It's mayhem and chaos. I'm really enjoying the Stanley Cup playoffs this year.
The old hockey joke is, I went to a hockey fight and a game broke out.
It's that's crazy.
That's how many fights are on hockey.
So they seemingly they'll be shooting the puck around and I love the goalie because the goal, I feel like I couldn't be a goalie because I would get distracted and start daydreaming, but also the goalie gets to stay in one place, and a lot of times the goalie just throws his body down on the ice to block the puck. I feel like that's a sport I could play. But anyway, like, here's the puck. There's the puck. This one's got it. That one's got it. And then seemingly out of nowhere, for no reason that I can tell, and it's a big TV, one of these players just goes, oh, like the look on your face, and slams him into the boards. It is wild. Can you explain this to me? Max, you know the most about sports here. Can you explain this to me?
Oh, I like the idea that they call it checking.
Yes.
Right.
Like, wow, that was a really hard check. It's like, no, you took your elbow, put it under his neck, under his skull, and banged him.
You guys, the other night.
I think the referees look at every check or whatever you want to call it, and it's up to them. They just say, okay, well, there's going to be some rocking and rolling here, but that wasn't too bad. You know, don't you think that they just make the call based on their experience?
Yeah. Can I tell you what happened? It was right out of Blades of Glory with Napoleon Dynamite and Will Ferrell. So it was one of the New York Rangers. They tripped each other somehow, and the New York Ranger dude went down, the guy in blue, and then the opposing player also went down, and the two of them are on their butts on the ice, but the Carolina guy is in between the New York guy's legs, and they went sailing down the ice like some sort of bad ice capades routine. It was hysterical. Nobody got in trouble for that. Who even knows what these rules are? All right, so we got morons in the news coming up. It's Throwback Thursday, so we're going to throw it back with the legend himself, George Carlin. Got that coming up for you. It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Hi, Ashley from Oregon. I was just listening to you guys talk about the outhouse situation, and it made me think of my friends who they're in like their late 20s, and they've been married, I don't know, 7 years? And anyway, they keep the door open when they go to the bathroom. Not just number one, but number two as well. I guess in case they need to talk to each other or they just want to keep each other company. That's something that they do. So they would have no problem with that outhouse situation. It's very interesting to me. I screenshot that picture that you guys posted on your Facebook about the multiple toilet situations of the really long toilet where maybe you could even fit three people. So I just wanted to let you know that I have some weird friends, I guess. Anyway.
Okay, guys.
I hope my childhood friends are not on Facebook. If we're posting stuff like that.
Listen, do you not feel since the world changed in March of 2020 for us dramatically, do you not feel that you can miss a couple of minutes of your life partner's company to take care of business? Because I'm with this man 24/7.
How lonely are you that you got to... Oh my God. Hey, walk over here and stand outside the bathroom. I've got to go. Can you watch? Oh,
Lamar, no. You're the newest. You're the newest to this lifestyle because you used to leave your house in like basically at what, 4 o'clock in the morning and then not get home some nights till late?
Yeah.
Over
yeah.
there at the Budweiser yeah. warehouse. Yeah. And now yeah. Carla has your sweet company 24/7.
24/7. You know, but listen, I don't care if I had been gone missing on a ship or missing at sea for 5 years, when I came home, at the moment I got home, I would say, hold on, I've got to go to the bathroom, and I'm going to walk in and I'm going to lock the door and I'm going to use the bathroom. Cause me and Carl we have this conversation all the time. She goes, why do you lock the door when you go to the bathroom? I said, so that nobody opens the door. She says, I'm the only one here, and I'm never going to open the door to while you're in the bathroom. And I said, I know you're not, because I've got the door locked. And she said, but you don't need to lock it. And I said, well, how would you know it's locked unless you're trying the knob? Okay. So, I mean, I'm not, you know, you don't want to get in. So don't worry about me having it locked. I mean,
I do the same thing. I do. Yeah. I do the exact same thing. Now, in my case, I have a very playful, funny wife. This is a woman that will play a few tricks on you. I just know that she would come bursting in and make a scary voice or something just to get a reaction. Mm-hmm. So I mm-hmm. think that's why mm-hmm. naturally I do that. But yeah. I'll tell you this thing, and I don't want to stay on this very long because I'm like you, Lamar. It's just wrong. I was watching Sex in the City years ago. I think it was about the time Mary and I got together. So watching Sex in the City, and Cynthia Nixon has a new boyfriend, and he's not a really attractive guy. You know, he's kind of dumpy looking. She's putting on makeup in her bathroom in her New York apartment. In he comes. And he sits right down on the toilet and continues to have a conversation with her.
Oh, no.
They shoot her reaction in the mirror, and it is one of mild horror. Oh. This guy has never done this before, but he is showing her the kind of casualness he's going to be bringing into her life.
No.
I mean, I like how
you pointed out that he wasn't attractive, as though I want to see Ryan Gosling make a boom boom. Okay, let me just speak for women everywhere.
Okay. It's just my way of describing the character. The character was not one of their hunky guys. They have a lot of hunky guys.
Oh, God. I just know that's out. Listen, one day we're both going to be old, okay? And somebody's going to have to help somebody. That's plenty of time, okay? I don't need that till I get there. I don't need that. I don't need that.
Well, thank you for giving me something to look forward to there. Knowing that is going to be happening. Oy!
Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
All right, we got morons in the news coming up. It's Bob and Sherry.
Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Bob and Sherry. You see, that's all I could come up with because I'm an idiot with Morons in the News.
Brooklyn traffic in Brooklyn, New York, part of the city, comes to a standstill after dozens of chickens fall from a truck. In Brooklyn, New York authorities actually had to answer the question, why did the chickens cross the street? Dozens of chickens escaped from a truck that they were being transported in while driving through the New York City borough. Cages fell from the truck for two blocks, spreading the foul smell. I kind of threw that one in there.
I see it.
Thank you. Traffic was stopped so several cops could chase down the chickens and get them to safety. I know that if I'm a chicken and I've fallen off a truck and I'm running through the Brooklyn streets, who I want to bring me to safety is a New York City cop. Because I know I'm going to be treated with great care and tenderness. I'll tell you, that's got to be a first for a Brooklyn cop, chasing chickens through the streets.
Yeah, I would think so. One of two people suspected in an ATM robbery in Huntington Beach earlier this year was arrested at a Southern California casino. The incident occurred when officers responded to a report of a robbery targeting an ATM maintenance worker. A large amount of cash was taken from the ATM before the suspects fled the area. An investigation led to the identification of the two suspects, including one who was already found behind bars in another state on unrelated charges. Once again, if you're doing something illegal, don't do something else illegal. It just doesn't work out. Police did not name either of the individuals, but said the second suspect was found having a great time at a casino in Riverside County. It seemed that this is what I love about the police statement. It seems he was trying to press his luck, but the moment we showed up, his winning streak ended, police said in the post.
They do like some sarcasm.
If you're going to rob something, wouldn't you want to stay low-key for a while? Just go somewhere and be still. Can't do it.
That's true. You see the movie Goodfellas, that one guy who was part of that big robbery, he shows up to celebrate with a fur on his wife's back and a pink Cadillac. And De Niro goes, I don't think you're going to be around very long.
Yep. But the temptation to spend, right?
Especially when
you got nothing and you come from nothing, you finally got some money and it's just killing you not to spend some of it. Let's go to today's moron of the day. The 46-year-old, very startled Nolan Goins of St. Petersburg, Florida. He was driving and the headlights of the oncoming car, he described them as glaring and annoying. So Nolan rolled down the passenger side window of his car and threw a bowl of pasta with sauce at the other driver.
Why would you waste pasta?
Why would you waste good pasta?
Yeah.
That was my thing.
Like, it was overcooked. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
So that's not a waste.
If it's not al dente,
I went looking for the police report to see if I could tell you what kind of pasta it was. Was it penne arrabbiata? Was it fettuccine alfredo? But the police report, very disappointingly, did not describe what kind of pasta it was. Also, they didn't say if he was bringing takeout home or leftovers from a, you know, like a doggy bag home, or if he routinely travels the roads of St. Petersburg armed with a bowl of freshly sauced pasta.
These days, I think the last is possible, very possible.
I just want to say to the law enforcement in St. Petersburg, Florida, help a sister out and put a little more detail in your report, because I was dying to know. Because I feel like it's a very different experience to get pelted with rigatoni than to have a big wad of like linguine come at me. And if you think about it for a would minute, be,
that
worse.
Linguine, it was stupid because it's just not going to take off. Now you get some firm penne, you might be able to hit a windshield.
Put an eye out, yeah. Any hoosers, he got arrested. He's charged with battery and misdemeanor. They booked him into the county jail. They freed him on bail. But let me tell you about my man here before you go look at his mugshot. He has a rap sheet. He's been caught selling weed. He's assaulted a couple of other people, multitudes of traffic infractions. Here is a man who should not be driving because he can't handle the stress. That is morons in the news coming up. Oh my gosh, y'all. Max had the cringiest, most awkward celebrity encounter of his life. And in True Profiles and Courage, he's going to tell us about it. And if you're a fan of the TV show, This Is Us. Don't go anywhere.
No.
This is Bob and Sherry.
If you've been trying to contact the Bob and Sherry website or True Weird Stuff website, you may have gotten a very strange result or have received warning messages from your antivirus software. That's because we've been the victim of hacking. We are working diligently to combat this attack and taking steps to make sure it doesn't happen again. Thanks to those of you who reached out to us via social media or via our app. We are aware of the problem and we are on top of it. We appreciate your patience as we work through this. And thanks from the entire Bob and Sherry team.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate. Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
Alejandro Otero said that he wasn't home when the nearly 2-pound object tore through the roof, through both floors of his 2-story home in Naples, and security footage captured the sound of the crash. Otero was on vacation when his son called and told him about the startling surprise. He said it was this tremendous sound. It almost hit my son. He was 2 rooms over and heard it all. Something ripped through the house, then made a big hole on the floor and then on the ceiling. And we heard that. We were like, impossible. And then immediately I thought, a meteorite. Otero rushed home from his trip and found what appeared to be a man-made cylindrical-shaped object on the floor of the home. Otero believes that the mysterious object came from space. He even shared photos of the space junk on X, formerly known as Twitter, saying that he is waiting to hear back from the responsible agencies to resolve the cost of damages, because he wants somebody to pay for this big old hole that's in the ceiling and the floor and everywhere else. NASA confirmed that the agency collected an item in cooperation with the homeowner and will analyze the object at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida to determine its possible origin. However, the U.S. Space Command record of reentry of a piece of space debris from the space station on March 8th, this is a while ago, came around the same time Otero's home camera captured the crash. Regardless of where the trash came from, Otero said the experience has terrified his whole family and he needs somebody to pay for his roof. So I don't know. I mean, if there's something in space, doesn't it have to be NASA or Boeing? One of the two. I mean,
I think
only
it's a
two
door
planes.
Handle from it's a door handle from a Boeing plane. That's what I think it is.
If we didn't put it up there, that raises some questions.
Right. That's exactly right. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry, live tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. Tonight, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
A little behind the scenes thing here on the Bob and Sherry Show. Normally, almost every moment of the show is rehearsed and rehearsed several times. But every once in a while,
starting at 1 a.m., exacting, yes.
Our exacting attention to detail is dropped. And I don't know about what Max is about to tell us. I've heard
because he can only tell it once. He can only tell it once. That's how bad it is. Right,
it's bad enough. Bad enough I told Sherry about it the first time. So I went to get some takeout food. So I ordered ahead, and I'm going there, and I have to wait for them to bring the food. And so there's a little bench where you sit, and then there's the shelves where they put the food, and then they call your name when that comes out. So I am sitting there and waiting, and this woman comes and sits down, and she sits near me. And as I'm waiting there, she said, "What did you order?" And I said, "Oh, I got the chicken with the sweet potato and the broccoli." I said, it's very good." She says, "Have you had anything else?" I said, "No, I'm such a creature of habit. That's what I always get." She said, "I should eat sweet potatoes." She said, "But I really don't like sweet potato." And I said, "Well, you know, I've kind of developed a taste for it." And then we talked a little bit more about what she got and that sort of thing. And then she asked me, she said, "Well, what do you do for a living?" And I said, "Well, you know, I work in this radio show and I produce this podcast called True Weird Stuff." And I told her all about that. And then and I said, "Well, what do you do for a living?" And she said, "I'm an actress." And I said, "I'm an actor," which technically is true.
It is true. You've acted in commercials and plays.
Absolutely.
Okay, it gets better, y'all. Here it comes.
I said, "Really?" I said, "Is that why you're in town?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "I'm filming this TV show. It's called Hunting Wives." And I went, "Oh." And I said, "What else have you done?" And she said, "Have you ever heard of a TV show called This Is Us?" And I said, "Yes." And then I'm thinking to myself, I've never seen the show, but this person all of a sudden started looking vaguely familiar to me. Mm-hmm. And I said, "What's your name? Can I follow you like on Instagram?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "My name is Chrissy Metz." I look at her Instagram page, she's got 1.9 million followers, which I said out loud. And of course, she was very nice. The thing about this is I could have sat and talked to her all night, but the cringiness of the fact that I announced that I too was an actor. Can I just tell you a little bit about Chrissy? Chrissy was nominated in 2017 for an Emmy Award and a Golden Globe. Do you know what she won a Screen Actors Guild Award in 2018 for her participation in This Is Us, and again in 2019 for This Is Us.
Max did tell Chrissy Metz of This Is Us, award-winning beloved actress, that he was the Sears Termite Man.
I told her, yes, I was the Sears Termite Guy, which
what'd
is, of course, my crowning achievement. She was about as gracious as she could be during my incredibly cringy moment, Bob.
What a nice person she is, because you know, with some actors or actresses, it could have gone the other. You don't know who I am. You fly over piece of nothing, you know? That's really cool.
The thing about it is, what makes her such an engaging person, and you know what, she has a certain amount of self-assurance about her that is just that's just, you can tell. And she's also written like a children's book. She's done all kinds of things. She's been on all kinds of TV shows and on all kinds of movies and everything else.
Okay.
I was a used cow salesman for commercials for Piggly Wiggly supermarkets. I was the bank customer who said, "Hey, it's easy." And everywhere I go in town, people would say, "It's Mr. Easy." That's my claim to fame.
You know what's so awesome about this encounter? Chrissy Metz turns out to be exactly who you hoped she would be if you're a fan of Chrissy Metz. Like, I was just over the moon. I'm dying of secondhand embarrassment for you, but I was over the moon that she was exactly who I hoped she would be.
When I said to Sherry, I said, "Do you know who Chrissy Metz is?" She was like, "Oh, I love Chrissy Metz." And I went, "Well, just better."
It took Max so painful for him to tell me this story. He was like, then you won't believe what I told her. I told her I was the Sears
I told her, I said, I know I need to tell this on the show. I said, but I'm so embarrassed and so cringy from it.
You're so brave.
You know, you need a pass on this because a lot of people who are actors don't look exactly the same way when they're not on
out of context.
You know, out of context, might not have makeup on. The lighting is not the same. So you get a pass on that. Well, that's kind of an exciting little story there, huh?
So anybody who's a fan, she's just as nice as you could imagine she would be. Aww. So
this it's is Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate. Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
We want to show our appreciation for teachers by sending them to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach to enjoy a much-needed vacation this summer. Nominated teacher to win this getaway from Visit Florida at bobandsherry.com.
From Pioneer Woman, which I don't watch on TV, but the Pioneer Woman.
I love her.
And I know you do, yeah. Yeah. I don't know how her family is still alive with all of the high...
They're ranchers. They're ranchers. They burn that. Yeah. They burn those calories.
Everything is very fattening. But anyway, she came up with this article, Summer Activities for the Whole Family. Getting the family outside during the summer is a must. Not only are you soaking up all that sunshine, but it gets everybody active. Here are some fun summertime activities the whole family can enjoy. So I've changed it, the title of the Pioneer Woman's article. Summer Activities for the Whole Family, none of which Mr. Bobby ever got to do. Okay? So I'm just going to go right down the list.
Okay.
Water balloon fights. With my family? No. Outdoor scavenger
hunt. How about with your kids? None of these ever, or none of these for you as a child?
As a child.
Okay.
As a child. Outdoor scavenger hunt. I just can't imagine my father getting off his chair, putting down the cigarette and the Ballantine beer, and hiding crap in trees. I just don't see him doing that. Beach days. Well, I did get that. We would go to the beach every once in a while. Camping. There's no way. Flying a kite. Daddy, I got this kite. You want to run with me in the field? No. Playing mini golf.
I don't see it.
He thought it was stupid. Backyard movie night. Oh, yeah. Daddy, the Smiths put big sheets attached to the trees, and then they put a movie on it from a projector. Building a treehouse. Is that not the dream of every kid to have their own treehouse?
I had one.
Mine you
didn't
had
have
one?
Sides, though. Yeah, of course I had one. But
it didn't have sides.
I just had planks and all the. But you could go up there and sit, so that was good.
Kevin built one for the girls when they were little. They loved it, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's a carpenter. My father was not. Yeah. Stargazing. You know, I think the old man and I actually did that. Once or twice, we looked up at the stars on a clear night.
Are you sure that he wasn't staring up at the sky in despair and frustration, and you thought you all were looking at the stars together? Because I had a dad like that.
I can't give you a positive on that one. You may be right.
I thought my dad was stargazing, but he was just passed out in the front yard.
Well, it still counts. making summer crafts. Yeah, it's not happening. This one I got to do a couple of times going on a boat ride. A couple of vacations he would rent, which was nothing more than a rowboat with a 10-horsepower engine on it. We would ride it around. I loved it. And finally, playing outdoor games. I don't think so. Those are things I just never did with my father. And I'm wondering, did other fathers do these sort of things? Really, from my generation.
On TV.
I think fathers
on TV they did.
Say that again.
On TV they did. The Beaver's dad would do it in a suit. He would be wearing a suit and they'd be out there playing baseball.
That's true. That is so very true. So anyway, if you've got kids, you know, get on out there and do some of these things. So right now, I'm kind of two-faced because half of those things I really don't want to do either. I gotta be honest. Do you see me running backyard movie night? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
It's and you know what's sad about that? It would be really fun and you would enjoy it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So anyway, thank you. Thank you, Pioneer Woman. This is Bob and Sherry.
Happy Hour tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
It's Throwback Thursday, so today's Everyone Needs a Laugh is the legend himself, George Carlin.
Where's the show, boss? There go a few now. Five of them. There's three. There's two. There's two. There's two. Words. Out of sight. And they can confuse you. Everybody knows that tone of voice is important in words. I mean, they don't always mean what they mean, depending on how you say them. Your dog will tell you.
Isn't she a cute dog? Look at that cute little doggy.
That's how you say it, man. Now, I think there are some words we need. First of all, there are some things that don't have names. Those two lines on your upper lip that come down from your nose. Those two little flesh lines, ain't no name for them. If you cut them and you want to describe it on the phone, you got to say, hey, you know those lines that come down from your nose? Yeah, cut them. There's something that's got no name. That thing happens on the sidewalk. You're walking down the sidewalk and you're about to bump into somebody, and the two of you correct the wrong way three times. It's got no name. If that happens three times in one block, you want to tell your friend about the coincidence. You got to say, hey, you know that thing that happens on the sidewalk like that? Got no name. Then I think we can make our language easier. Certain words we don't have, we could use like near-fetched. Hey, we got far-fetched. Why not near-fetched? It means something very obvious. Hey, that's very near-fetched, Bill. Yeah, that's like worth least. We got worth less. But less only means comparatively. Just less.
Worth least.
That's something. How about cheese fondant for people that don't like cheese fondue? Well, cheese fondant can't make up my mind. How about chalant? We have nonchalant. So the concept of chalance exists. Chalance is very hyper. It's very chalant, isn't it? Yeah. Don't know what he's into. M&Ms. I insist that when you have one M&M left, you have an M.
It's written right on there.
Think refrigerator freezer ought to be called refrigideezer. Make it easy, man. Of course, there's some words that go away. Not obsolete words, but words like, think it, we used to all listen to rock and roll. Now everybody listens to rock. Whatever happened to roll? Same feeling I get when I'm walking through Sears, wondering what they did with Roebuck. That's a bug on it. Some words never get used. But before that, I like to change my words. Some words confuse me because they come together. Jumbo shrimp. I can't figure that out.
Jumbo shrimp.
Two words are mutually exclusive. It's like military intelligence. You can't say them together. Now, how do you get that? It's like occasional irregularity. Some words just don't fit, man. Got things like semi-boneless ham. What is it, man? Oh, now, wait a minute. It's got a bone in it. It's got a bone. It's a bone. We're not a semi-bone. Ain't no semi-bone. You whack a bone in half, you got two bones, Jim. That's like crumbs, man. Every time you hit one in half, boom, two crumbs. You can feed the neighborhood, man. Some words are like that. I heard a commercial for semi-truck drivers. Be a semi-truck driver. What could that be? A guy who finishes half the course, that's all.
Maybe it's a little cat.
Like I say, there are some words that never get spoken in certain order. Some phrases that you just don't hear, like, please saw my legs off. Hand me the piano. Here's one you'll never, never hear. That's right. That's why marijuana is having a tough time being decriminalized. No one can remember where they left the petitions, man. A phrase that you'll never hear. Do what you want to the girl, but leave me alone. Thank you.
And that is,
he loved phrases. He loved words.
He was the guy. He was the guy. Wordsmith. He was.
The legendary George Carlin. We'll post that setup at BOBANDSHERI.com. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate. Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
So, would you like to know what your royal name would be if you were royalty in England?
Yes.
Okay, so this is what British people do. I just read about this. Take your name of a relative of your gender. Take a name of a relative of your gender and then put it together with the street you were born on. I mean, not the hospital street, but where your parents took you back to live when you were an infant. And then just put a lord or lady in front of it. For instance, I would be Lord Jack Greenway. Lord Jack Greenway, that's a pretty good name.
That's not bad. Yeah. How do I get my first name again? Tell me that part again.
You pick one of your grandparents, one of your grandparents' first names.
Oh, I'm Lady Isabel Charles. Oh, that's very good, I think.
That's a very good one. Yeah. Max?
Lord Frank Grayson.
Oh, that's very English, isn't it? Yeah, that's very English.
I'm sorry.
Bring it on.
Frank, both of my grandfathers were Frank. Sounds like somebody who owns a package store in Jersey in neon, you know.
Frank does. That's true. Yeah.
I am the Lord Crate, Route 3.
How about you, Doc? About
you? Similar to Lamar, I'm Lord Fred Route 1.
Are you kidding? Neither. You were literally born on those streets. You were born on those routes. Those streets.
Yes.
Wow. Yep.
Yes.
Wow. Well, you know, we moved. Our next house was on the Hartford Turnpike, so I would have been Jack Turnpike, Lord Jack Turnpike, which not too bad.
Lord Jack Turnpike sounds like the son of a British aristocrat who ran away to be a pirate.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you should go with Lord Jack Turnpike. I really do.
Yeah, that's a good one. So there you are, folks. A little something to waste your time at work today. It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Bob. I'm a medical doctor, and what you are doing with double dipping is the opposite of what you are as a germaphobe. I want to explain why you shouldn't double dip. Your body not only has good Bob germs, but it also has bad Bob germs. They're both fighting each other every day. And as long as the good germs win, then you're healthy. Now, the reason that your wife doesn't get sick when you kiss her is that whatever amount of good or bad germs that you exchange with her, if she has a good immune system, it can kill off any bad germs that it encounters. That jar of peanut butter doesn't have an immune system. It's just a vat of food for germs. When you double dip, you leave behind a bunch of germs. They would just multiply until there's so much of them that the next time your wife eats it, she may get sick. You will also get sick if you eat it, because it's now just a big jar of germs. The second issue here is consent. Your wife consented to you kissing her. She did not consent to you double dipping behind her back. So please, Bob, please stay healthy. And for the love of God, don't double dip. Seriously, though, if you don't believe a medical doctor, just Google peanut butter contamination. And you'll see that people have died and they have had to recall peanut butter due to salmonella bacteria contamination.
Oh, my God.
And what I said about germs multiplying applies more to higher moisture food. Peanut butter is a low moisture food, so they may not multiply as much.
Good. Good.
Wow.
Do we know where he got his medical degree? Which college it was?
I think it was Yale.
You know, this is so on brand for you, Bob.
Are you going to take your 2 years of earth science at Roger Williams College and come up against a medical doctor?
Is there anything he said that didn't sound like it made total sense?
Wait a minute. Let me help Bob here. Let me help Bob. How often do y'all go through a jar of peanut butter? Pretty quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see? It's not like it's sitting there for 6 or 8 months.
No.
I mean, no. Yeah.
And it's been in the refrigerator.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody puts peanut butter in the refrigerator.
Peanut butter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, it's not like it's cold. Not like one of the it's nothing but peanuts, you know, the peanut butter costs a little bit more.
I don't care.
Yeah, we put it in there. Yeah.
That actually may you know slow what, though, the Bob? Germ growth.
It may, yeah. But let me just say, if peanut butter kills you, you dead, whether it was expensive peanut butter or cheap peanut butter. You still dead.
All right. You know what? I don't normally do this, and this is not my character and all. I'm never going to do it again. Are you all happy now? I mean, it's worked out good for me so far.
If I could believe you, I would feel better. But I do not believe you.
No. I totally pledge that I will never do that again. And here's the other thing I'm going to do. I'm going to wash my face 5 times a day, if we could just stop, you know, these calls from coming in. Because that's what I'm getting my... Oh, you don't wash your face every single day? Do you remember we were talking about that?
Oh, yeah. You don't wash your face. You double dip peanut butter. I thought I knew you.
I wash my face a lot.
I feel like I'm one of those women in a Lifetime movie. I married a stranger. Who is this man who I share my life with who doesn't wash his face and double dips his peanut butter?
I've never seen Bob with a dirty face.
Yeah, and when was the last time I was sick? You got nothing. But I'm going to go that route. 5 times a day, I'm going to wash my face, and I'm never going to double dip into the refrigerated peanut butter again.
Who brought the peanut butter double dip thing up because his germs are helping and can't hurt anybody? Who?
Oh, that would be Bob.
Well, I don't know how we got on the subject, but I do go to with my germs help. I've been doing that routine for about 25 years, which I think was the last time I was sick. Not that bad. But that's it.
I heard that doctor say that you could make yourself sick and you could make Mary sick. Is that the man you want to be?
What do you want from me, woman? I just said I wouldn't do it anymore.
You know what the name of this Lifetime movie is, y'all? She was gone in a jiff.
And then in parenthesis, without her consent. Because that's what he was. He was like a lawyer. He was like a lawyer with that whole consent thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Finish it out. I'm walking away.
He went to law school also. Not just medical school. He went to law school.
It is Bob and Sherry. Enter your cat into our Catter Day contest at bobandsherry.com to win a hide and scratch cat scratching box. Hide and scratch combines the two things cats love. Scratching and boxes. Check it out, hideandscratch.com.
Bob and Sherry go.
Well, since it's Throwback Thursday and all, we thought it would be fun to throw it back to one of the smartest and funniest guys ever to be on TV, Conan O'Brien. So he went to an elementary school in Chicago to see if he could teach little kids how to sing the blues.
Chicago's a city that's famous for its blues. Unfortunately, a lot of young people aren't familiar with the blues as an art form. I wanted to introduce them to this great musical genre. So I sat down with a group of first graders at the Francis Xavier Ward Elementary School right here in Chicago, and we learned a lot together. Check it out. This is what we're going to do. We're going to play the blues today, and you guys are going to help me write some Chicago blues songs. Does that sound fun?
Yeah.
Now, here's what we do. To write the blues, you write about something that's making you unhappy. And by singing about something that makes you unhappy, it makes you feel better or makes you feel much worse.
Yeah.
So what I want you to do is think about something that kind of bothers you about your everyday life. Summer, what makes you kind of grumpy?
When I think about how my sister took my teddy bear when I was probably three.
Your sister took your teddy bear when you were three?
Well, me and my sister were playing around, but then she took it.
So she took your teddy bear. How long did she keep it for?
Well, actually, she sort of like dropped it off the bed, but I cashed it.
Wait a minute. Your story's changing. You went from your sister stole your teddy bear, which is a great blues song, by the way, to your sister didn't really take your teddy bear, just pushed your teddy bear off the bed and you caught it. I'm going to be honest with you, Summer. This isn't the most terrible story I've ever heard. And I've heard some bad things. What's that?
It is where you live it.
Do you have any things in your life that make you irritated sometimes, like a brother that bothers you or a kind of food you don't like?
Edamame.
Edamame? Wow, we didn't even have edamame when I was a kid. That's a food that kids don't like that was invented.
Mom and sister love edamame.
So this is the great tragedy of your life. My sister and my mother eat edamame, and I don't like it quite as much as they do. That's a blues song right there. In fact, it's been recorded in 1948. A little-known label that went defunct. Because all the songs are about edamame.
People at my table tease me because I don't get chocolate.
You don't get to have chocolate?
My mom doesn't pack with me with chocolate on Wednesdays since I have cold lunch on Wednesdays.
Is there any day you're allowed to have chocolate?
On Friday, that's dessert day at school, so yeah.
One of the greatest things about the blues, one of the greatest themes is the man keeping you down. And this is the man keeping you down.
And my sisters are weird.
And your sisters are weird?
She said absolutely no chocolate in school. Every time I open up my lunchbox, I feel just like cool. No chocolate on a Monday. No chocolate on a Tuesday. No chocolate.
The kids playing the maracas.
But I am allowed chocolate on Friday. It's the one sole exception to the rule.
I miss Conan. We'll get that posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. Man, and there's something about... There's something about those little kids. They're so serious about the blues, you know? They're hardcore about what they're suffering.
Can I tell you, the kid was playing the maracas like his life depended on it. I mean, he was like Will Ferrell in the Gotta Have Cowbell. He was selling it.
I can't wait for y'all to see it. We're going to post it right now. This is Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this? It's sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I don't believe this.
I know that we've all seen pictures of black and white pictures of like in the 20s when they were doing the dance marathon, you know? They would have all kinds of people get out there and dance, and whoever was the last one standing would win the prize and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen
it. Yeah, it was a very big craze back in like 1923. You just had to, you know, dance without stopping, and they were setting records right and left. But things really got out of hand when it hit the 30s because the Great Depression started, and this regular little sweet dance contest transformed into... where people are literally dying of exhaustion on the dance floor for the chance to win money. because they needed money.
Wow.
They didn't have jobs, okay?
Yeah.
And so to give you an idea, in 1923, dance instructor Alma Cummings set a world record for the longest time dancing continuously, 27 hours. Okay? That's a long time. Okay.
That is.
But by the 1930s, dance marathon by standards, her performance was a joke, okay? These people are desperate. They are struggling. They got to have money to put food on the table. I mean, they were dancing for days and days. The rules of the Great Depression dance marathons were very strict. Contestants had to remain in motion to be counted as dancers, and they were given 15-minute breaks to rest every hour. Then nurses would massage their feet. They could go to the bathroom. Food and water were consumed then. They were consumed while they were dancing. And they bathed while they danced, they shaved, they read the newspaper. Everything they did was while they were dancing. And competitions were so closely monitored, if you had to go to the bathroom, a promoter would send a staff member with you to the bathroom, which I would have been out then. I couldn't have done it. But anyway, one of the most important rules of a dance marathon is competitors' knees could not touch the ground. If you did, that was disqualification. So partners took turns sleeping for a few minutes with their arms around each other's necks or whatever, and the one that was awake would hold up the other one so their knees would not touch. And they would use smelling salts. They would slap each other to get woke up.
Wow.
They would do ice baths between dances. I mean, they did everything. And sometimes psychosis would set in because you would have hundreds of hours of continuous dancing. In one documented case, a woman's husband was in the psychosis. He punched her in the jaw during an episode. The lady then attempted to take her own life after dancing for 19 straight days. And she took the punch from her husband and only finished in fifth place. She was ready to kill herself. Another time, a 21-year-old man collapsed and started vomiting blood on the floor after days of dancing. By the time the dance marathon began to die out in the late 30s, it had already had some of the most shocking dance records in history. Callum DeVeeler and Vonnie Konchutny of Minneapolis took first prize in a marathon at Somerville, Massachusetts. They danced for 3,780 hours over a period of 5 months. 5 months! Vaudeville star June Havoc once danced continuously, nonstop, for 3,000 hours. That took 4 months. She slept only in 15-minute intervals every hour. But dance marathons started to fade into obscurity by the 40s because people was worried about World War II and people were returning to work. They didn't have time for stuff like that, you know. But, I mean, and a lot of places, by the time people started dying doing this, they had banned it in most major cities. So this is the dark side of the dance contest. I never knew this.
I didn't either.
None. I've read about these and I've always wondered, like, how do you do it? I had no idea. You know, a long time ago, Bob and I went to Gainesville, Florida, and the university there was doing a dance-a-thon. Remember, Bob? And
vaguely,
these,
yeah.
They were, it was sororities and fraternities. It was Greek life.
Mm-hmm.
And they were planning to dance for 24 hours. And it was like, what? How in the world?
Months, yeah. These people dance.
Wow. Let's get this post. This is fascinating. Let's get this posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. And still to come on the Bob and Sherry Show today, we're going to teach you what acronyms to use in your texts to impress your kids and also make them cringe. And what's better? I mean, after all the trouble you've gone to being a parent, what's better than making your kids cringe? They owe you that. It's Bob and Sherry.
Happy hour tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
Well, if you suddenly see some posts on Twitter or on Facebook about Mick Jagger, you know the Rolling Stones are about to tour. He's very good at that. And Max follows Mick Jagger on tour. What did you see as a post?
Yeah, on Twitter X, he posted this. This is him rehearsing with two backup singers one of the Rolling Stones songs. And it's pretty neat. I'll play it.
I know you think you're the queen of the underground. And you can send me dead flowers every morning. Send me dead flowers by the mail. Send me dead flowers to my wedding. And I won't forget to put roses on your grave.
Great song.
He's in great voice. He's 80 years old. He's in great years old. Voice.
Yeah. You know, good he doesn't him, have it. He doesn't have a too. Traditional, powerful voice, but it's so interesting. The moment you hear it, you know it's Mick Jagger. That is, it's just remarkable. Since I was a kid, I was following him and the Rolling Stones. I never ever thought that they would be touring in their 80s, and here we are.
No, Keith Richards, 80 years old.
80 years old.
He smoked up until 5 years ago. He's an ex-heroin addict. He drank all the time. He's still alive.
I know.
It's wild.
You know what two of his girls said? They said they're changing their wills to include what their father will get when they pass.
I just read a music critic said, you know, I never really liked the Rolling Stones. I saw them recently, and they were still great.
They are. They really are. They're an amazing bunch of guys. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
So let me ask you, what is it I always say?
Are we almost done? I got to get something to eat.
No.
Oh. There's something else?
This is what I always say. If a woman doesn't want you, there is nothing you can do to get her back.
Oh, that's
okay?
True. Yeah. That's
don't I always true. Say that? Listen to this crazy story. 51-year-old guy named Roy Meadwell in, I think it's Yeovil, England. Y-E-O-V-I-L. Yeovil?
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 I would say Yeovil.
Yeovil. Back in 2016, he was engaged to a woman named Kay Wimbry, but she broke things off. He kept trying to get her back, and it got so bad that she got a restraining order against him. No, Roy, I do not want to marry you. Stay away. But last summer, he came up with one more shot. He wrote her a letter pretending to be the ghost of her dead mother.
And in what?
In the letter, he told Kay she should get back together with Roy. Surprisingly, Kay realized the letter was not coming from beyond the grave, and she went to the cops. Ray was just sentenced to 4 months in prison for violating the restraining order, but the sentence is suspended as long as he doesn't break the restraining order again.
What? What are you thinking?
I mean, this is why she doesn't want to be with you, first of all, because you're an idiot to come up with a plan like
you
this.
You don't do that. I mean, you know what that is? That's, again, we've said this before, that's too many movies, because that's like a cute thing in a movie.
So maybe he came up with the idea that
a spooky thing in a movie
that she wrote it before she died and somehow it got hung up in the post office or whatever. And that was her wish that Roy and her daughter would be married.
If you're having to invoke the spirit of her dead mother, doesn't that in itself tell you something?
Yes, he's crazy.
No,
or
you
nutty.
You're the guy. You man are writing a letter pretending to be the ghost of your girlfriend's dead mother. The fact that that's what you have to do, doesn't that tell you how doomed this relationship is?
To a normal person, I would say definitely yes. Of course it does. All he can think about is getting this woman back. Because you know what? Sometimes you'll find a situation where a guy who's got some issues will hook him a really great girl. And it takes her a while to realize this guy is trouble or this guy's a problem or this guy's just plain nuts. And so she cuts her losses and says, you know, it's just not working out. But he is absolutely out of his mind because he knows that he can't ever probably get anything like that back again. And he can't let it go.
But is he clinging to it out of love or out of need?
Desperation, need. I wouldn't even, in this case, use the word love.
I have this little carved thing that someone gave me as a gift when they visited Ireland.
Uh-huh.
and it's a Gaelic blessing on your marriage. Mm-hmm. And the translation to it goes like this. I need you because I love you, not I love you because I need you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That is a very interesting thing to sit and dissect.
And very simple.
I need you because I love you,
right.
Not I love you because I need you.
Yeah.
And if you're invoking the ghost of the dead mother, mm-hmm. you might be falling into category two. Mm-hmm.
You know, I just find that if a woman has taken a restraining order out on me, it's probably over.
You have to ask yourself, how many times has that ended up with a happy ending?
Yeah, how many women have said, hey, Bob, I'm sorry about the restraining order. What was
My
I
bad.
Thinking?
Ooh, hormones. Never. Like, have you ever? Because I never have.
Never. Well, you know, I think maybe probably in the history of Hollywood, there have been some crazy romances where, you know, two people who are
with
both kind of hotheads and one took a restraining order out and then all of a sudden said.
Even Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love, I think, don't have that in their backstory.
You may be right.
I think once the judge has ordered you to stay 500 yards away, it's over.
Yeah, yeah. He couldn't do it. He couldn't
do it.
What an unsettling letter to
get. If somebody did that to me and they invoked the ghost of my mother, I'd be like, really? Seriously?
Yeah. I hear you.
Because my mother's ghost would say something like, you can't beat a clean countertop. Everything else just makes it look ever so organized. Clean countertop.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Happy hour tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
Honor the mom in your life at bobandsherry.com and enter our More Than a Mother contest. Winners will receive a Mother of Pearl necklace from Land & Lacy Jewelry, a Mother's Day check feather and down pillow, and more. A woman, Greta Peening, was walking home in Amsterdam, and she had to go to the bathroom. She could find plenty of toilets for men, but there were none for women. So she did what anybody else would do at that point. She got her friends, she ducked into an alley and had her friends block her from sight so nobody could see her, and she peed in the alley. And she was arrested. So she wrote a letter challenging her fine because it was pretty expensive. It was like $150, $175. And she challenged the fine and she pointed out that Amsterdam at that time had 35 public urinals for men and 3 for women. Now, that doesn't
that
just
unfair.
Well, it does. And
wrong.
It doesn't just affect women, but also people in wheelchairs. Think about it. So after 2 years, she was summoned to court about the fine. Well, that seemed a little weird. So she started talking about it, and she shared her concern about it, about going to court over this. And 20 media representatives wound up finding out about it, and they went to document her court appearance. So the judge listened to her appeal and she asked him to, you know, let it go. And, you know, and she explained why. And he rejected the appeal. He did reduce her fine. But the judge explained that she should have used the men's urinal. He said, it may not be pleasant, but it's possible. Well, women all over the country demonstrated the impossibility of urinating in a public toilet built for men. They were all out in arms about it. Some of them posted photos showing themselves twisted up in knots and ambitious gymnastic poses trying to comply with the judge's orders for a woman to use the man's urinal. And among the people who joined the movement was Lana Rudrick, and she was an Amsterdam city councilor. So she banded together with some other female counselors, and they rallied around the whole public support. And finally, new wheelchair-accessible women's public toilets are going to be available. And this took 9 years. It's going to be available there this year now. This has been going on for nine. This took 9 years to make this happen. And it basically is sort of a crash course in how cities are designed, because back to a time that women were expected to remain at home.
They're not going out going places. Only men are going out and going to bars and stuff like that. And so they're only serving one segment of the population. Pining said, I think the city is mostly built by and for men. So if I look at it from that angle, it's not surprising that they only had urinals for men. But now they've changed all that, and it all came from her, you know, stirring the pot and finding some women that were in the council and stuff like that could get together and get the laws changed. That's amazing, isn't it?
That is so amazing. And one of the things that struck me, I've only been to Amsterdam once, but I was really surprised and delighted by the number of free public restrooms that were everywhere, because they really would rather you didn't get all drunk and pee in the canal, right?
Yes, yes.
Because exactly. Very often in America, there's nowhere to go to the bathroom, right? Signs on every restrooms are for customers only. Restrooms. It is very difficult when you have little girls to be in that world. The number of things I had to buy just so my girls could go to the bathroom was like, it's a problem you don't realize is a problem till it's a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's so true. And Lamar, I think that's because not everyone's like you and me, where we believe that if we use the bathroom at your gas station, we should buy something as a thank you. I don't think everyone shares that with us.
No, not everybody believes in that.
What's wrong with those people?
Exactly. You know, this is what gets me, you know, having all that problem out in California, like in Los Angeles, and the council is saying, well, we're just not going to make it illegal to go to the bathroom on the street. Whoa. Why don't you just buy a bunch of porta potties? Put porta potties everywhere. I mean, if that's the best you can do, do it. Put them. Give people opportunity. Yeah.
Give us something. Give us a little bit. So, yeah. That is a really cool story, and good for you, Amsterdam. People, here's the thing. Like, I don't think letting people go to the bathroom is asking for some bougie luxury.
No.
Don't we all gotta go? Like, we all gotta go. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry Podcast.
Remember, wasn't that long ago, Bob was telling us which emojis make Gen Z think you're old. Do you remember that? Like, there were certain emojis that we couldn't use anymore. Like the red heart. Like, you can't use the red heart. So I like the red heart, too. There's some acronyms, some text acronyms, and I'll tell you which ones here that you're not allowed to use anymore either. The problem is I only just got my husband trained up on, like, what LMAO means. Now I've got to teach him a new one. Like, we're going to need flashcards. So here we go. Gen Z thinks you're old if you use the acronym YOLO, you only live once. Now, for those
that.
Of you.
I always hated that.
Lamar, this definitely applies to you and to me. For those of you who do a lot of texting with Gen Z, get ready to blow their minds and completely own the day, because you're going to use the acronym DIFTP, which means
D-I-F-T-P.
D-I-F-T-P, doing it for the plot. So
I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, doing it for the plot. So, like, I'm right now in the middle of a long text thread with one of my daughters about pet care, because, you know, they're taking care of all these stray cats. And instead of, and I'm like, you need to do this, and then make sure you tell the vet that. And instead of saying something like, you know, and be sure to close the carrier lid, LOL, you would say, be sure to close the carrier lid, IJBOL. I just burst out laughing. IJBOL.
I wouldn't have known that one either.
So see, you're doing it for the plot. And you can think of how many ways doing it for the plot really fits into a conversation. And now you've got IJBOL. If you're a person who uses ROFL, rolling on the floor laughing, get rid of that completely and swap it out for the skull emoji, which you wouldn't think is funny, but it means dead from laughing. Like, I'm deceased.
Okay.
Now, do not in any circumstances, and Lamar, I cannot wait for you to do this to your daughter, Alex. Do not in any circumstances say, great job. Like, maybe she'll text you in the group chat that you have in your family, because Alex is a vet and she's a Gen Z vet, and she'll tell you something that she did at the animal hospital that day. I want you to respond, girl, that slaps. She will seize up and be unable to speak for minutes at a time.
Now, do I say that slaps, or do I just say GTS? Or I just say slaps?
You got to say, girl, that slaps. Get rid of great or awesome or cool. That slaps. You can... Can't you?
I'm so excited about this.
And then throw in DIFTP, doing it for the plot. Okay, now, do not bother with OMG. Gen Z is done with OMG, but you can give them a high five emoji. They will accept the high five emoji, not the thumbs up. That's old. The high five emoji. And this next one, my kids have been on this for years, and it drives me crazy because they say it to almost everything. Like, where you might say, okay, or God, how cringy, KK. So, like, if I were to say to you, Lamar, you're gonna text Alex DIFTP, you would respond to me with three letters, the word bet. Can you do that? Bet substitutes for, like, okay. And they do it with everything. My kids have been telling me,
okay.
My kids tell me bet more than a Vegas card dealer. Bet, bet, bet. Everything is bet, 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 skull emoji. So there you go. That's just a couple of them. Here's another one. LBR means let's be real. BFR means be for real. These will be very impressive with your Gen Z texty buddies, you guys. Very, very impressive. But you definitely have got to get rid of GTG, which is gotta go, and TTYL, talk to you later. That's all gotta go. We're doing it for the plot.
Bet.
We just burst out laughing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doing it for the
plot. That slaps.
I love doing it for the plot.
That slaps.
Girl, that slaps. Girl, that slaps. What you just told me. Girl, that slaps.
Bet. See, look how easily you slid right in. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the reaction of your kids. Yes. It's Bob and Sherry.
We know she's more than a mother.
Come give your mama a kiss.
Bob and Sherry want to celebrate your mom or the mother figure in your life. Just send us a brief description with a picture of you and your mom. Hit the contest tab at bobandsherry.com, and you could be one of 10 lucky winners to get a Mother of Pearl necklace from Landon Lacey Jewelry. LandonLacey.com, a custom-made Mother's Day pillow from Checked Feather and Down, a limited edition Mother of All Mothers huge latte mug, a limited edition Mother of All Mothers one size fits most nightshirt.
Hello, Mother.
We know she's more than a mother. Enter now at bobandsherry.com.
Don't forget to tell your mom you love her.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
You know, I ran across two very imaginative startup companies. One is called Potato Parcel. Potato Parcel is a startup and a service where customers can send their loved ones messages on potatoes, actual potatoes. The founder, his name is Alex, he got the idea when he saw a stamped potato online, and he decided to try it himself. And eventually, he set up a website. All you have to do is visit the site, potatoparcel1word.com, pick the potato type you want. There's all kinds of different potatoes. You write a message, 130 characters or less, and hit order. The options range from a basic potato parcel with a handwritten message to a full photo postcard potato. So they make a picture of your face or whatever and put it on the potato. And the delivery is available in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. And the potatoes, so that they don't go to waste, the company suggests that the recipient plant the potatoes and post it on social media. Well, I don't know why I would plant the potato. Could I not just eat the potato? I mean, that's what I would do. I would eat the potato. But you're thinking to yourself, well, this company, how can this company make any money? The company is now worth $1.75 million. Yeah. Now, here's the next one. Bollywood has all these big weddings and fascinating. It's all fascinating with all the pomp and splendor. A new startup in Australia called Join My Wedding has turned Indian wedding participation into a novel experience for visitors. In 2016, Orsi Partnai started connecting curious travelers to Indian couples eager to open up their wedding celebrations to guests from across the globe for a price. Join My Wedding teams up with couples getting married who are open to sharing their wedding. Tourists can immerse themselves in the full Indian wedding experience, and you can do the ceremonies, you feast on the food, traditional attire, you dress up, you get into their culture. You can buy a one-day experience for $150, or you can do 2 days for $250. And the guests are matched up with a family member who serves as their cultural ambassador, explaining everything that goes on. I would love to do that. I would love to go to an Indian wedding. It just seems like such a great, fun time. I think it would be awesome.
But,
JoinMyWedding.com.
You're making me sad that I didn't send wedding invitation on potatoes, thus bringing these two stories together.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.